Matthew chapter 5 this morning, if you have your Bible. Troy and I must be thinking along the same lines today. The songs that he selected in Sunday school, the song that they selected to sing this morning, seems to fit the direction that I was feeling from God's Word this morning. I want to read something to you before we look into God's Word. And I'm pretty sure that if I were to make this statement, maybe write this statement on a Facebook post, there would be a lot of negative stuff come back. You know, you get a lot of negative anyway. It really doesn't matter what you say. But this statement here, it's attributed to Robert Chapman. I did not go and clarify it and try to find out if that was true or not. But this statement here is really, really strong. Really, really strong. Listen. The great cause of our neglecting the Scriptures is not the lack of time, but want of heart. Some idol taking the place of Christ. Satan has been marvelously wise to entice away God's people from the Scriptures. A child of God who neglects the Scriptures cannot make it his business to please the Lord of glory, cannot make him Lord of the conscience, a ruler of the heart, the joy, portion, and treasure of the soul. Did that, just me reading it, did you get it? I know it's tough sometimes being read to catch that, but it, the neglect of Scriptures is not the lack of time, but the want of heart. Am I right that this person is saying that the heart really isn't engaged in the desire of the mind? Or the heart really isn't engaged in the clicking of the fingers, sharing the post, make me feel better, share this and you'll have 5 blessings come your way, share this and you'll see something good happen, and if you don't share this, then bad luck will happen. I didn't intend to say that. The want of the heart. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, these Beatitudes as we know them. In verse number 6, he really, really just throws something out there for us. You know, these Beatitudes are just every verse that they've separated here. They have something specific to say. And verse number 6 is a specific thought as well. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I remember hearing Dr. Omar Lee preach on the Beatitudes a number of years ago when we were pastoring in Evansville. It was early on, I don't know, 96, 97, that Dr. Lee was there, and he spent a good deal of time talking about the Beatitudes and specifically about that first word, blessed. The King James just gives us a word that we don't even use in that same way anymore. We don't say blessed except for when we're using Scripture or when we're singing a particular song in church. If we say anything like that, it's blessed. Somebody is blessed. I'm still not real sure how to spell blessed. Is it B-L-E-S-T or B-L-E-S-S-E-D? But, you know, the English teachers can give me that proper spelling sometime, and maybe I'll remember it. But the Amplified gives us a little bit broader of a picture of that word blessed. Would include being fortunate and happy and spiritually prosperous. Spiritually prosperous is probably the biggest aspect of that word. Spiritual prosperity, spiritual fullness. Spiritual fullness. Lord, fill my cup. Fill it up. Somebody penned the words to a song that probably not terribly familiar to all of us, but drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. How often has it been? How long has it been since we personally have been able to drink from the saucer because our cup has not been able to contain the blessing, the spiritual prosperity? Now, one thing that the Amplified specifies in that print is that this word blessed, or this word that would include spiritual prosperity, is reserved for people of a specific group. And that group would be those that are born again, the child of God. The born-again child of God. It's that person that has been born again that would enjoy His favor, enjoy His salvation. Blessed. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst, for they shall be completely satisfied. I'm reminded as I think about that particular passage and thinking about that hunger and thirst for righteousness, that longing within, more than just something that is talked about or something that is thought about, more than something that is talked from the fingertips on a computer, that it goes deeper into the very heart and the very soul of an individual. And it takes my mind to a passage in the Psalms where the writer the writer is saying that as the heart pants and longs for the water brooks, so I pant and long for you. The King James would say it in a different way. My soul thirsteth for the living God, as a heart panteth for the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. The King James then in the second verse said, my soul thirsteth for God. My soul. Do you know what your soul is? Do you know where your soul is? Do you know how to define your soul? Could we think of it and realize that our soul would be that inner self, that innermost self? That's what the Amplified would say. My inner self thirsts for God. Not just from the mind or from the lips, but it goes very deep into the very core of my being that I'm thirsting for God, that I have a longing deep in my heart. And when we have something deep in our heart, that becomes a priority in life. It becomes a priority in life. How many of you live by your priorities? You don't have to raise your hand because I know that it's 100%. We all live by our priorities. Why does a child need disciplining? Because they haven't got their priorities straightened out yet. Because they have a want to that goes against what they know. Boy, oh boy, reminded reminded of a little life a few years ago when I see a little life of the present. Why did you do that? You know that there's a whipping at the end of that. You know that there's discipline there. Why did you go? Well, I don't know. Priorities. And we can see that in kids. We can see that in other people. But how difficult it is for us to see it within ourselves that there's a priority level within us from the heart, from the innermost being, the soul. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. For some reason, I'm feeling more and more of a need to emphasize that very thing as the psalmist did here. Not just say, my soul thirsteth for God, but my soul thirsteth for the living God. Because we're hearing a whole lot nowadays, more and more it seems in my mind anyway, of other gods. And we're being told that these other gods are the same God that we serve and worship. Be careful. They're good people. I'm not saying that they're bad people, but they are leading us away from what God, who God is, the living God. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. My soul panteth for thee. My soul thirsteth for the living God. If we go over to John's Gospel, chapter 7, John records for us the words of Christ. If you have a Bible with the words of Christ in red, you'll be able to clearly see it. I'd love to be able to picture this in the right sense, in the proper sense. I'd love to be able to see this in my mind in the true context. In the last day, the great day of the feast, I don't know that we can comprehend all that's going on. You know, we can read about it, we can study about it, but it's really hard for us maybe to understand what these feast days were. And this was the great day of the feast. This was the last day. This was really important. And John records for us that Jesus stood and cried, saying, am I picturing this right? That there's a lot of people? Maybe there was a great celebration? Good things happening? And Jesus stood up in the midst of all of them and cried. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If any person thirsts. Suddenly, Jesus had a lot of attention on him, didn't he? It might be like if I were to come down here off of the platform and walk down the aisle and look in everyone's... Look at that. Everybody snaps their head right up at me, even the kids. Did you see that? Did anybody see that? I mean, something's different happening. The preacher came off the platform. He's walking down the aisle. He's looking us right in the face. Can you imagine what happens right here? Jesus stood up in the midst of all that was going on and he cried out, is anybody thirsty? They just had a celebration. They probably had all of the grape juice they wanted. Or Mountain Dew, whatever your choice is. The English Standard said that on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Pretty much the same, isn't it? Another translator said, on the last day of the festival, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried aloud, whoever is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. What am I saying? Why am I focusing on that? It's because the reason for the focus on that this morning is that is a particular, a specific, personal invitation from Christ Himself that if you're not satisfied in your heart, you can come to Him and drink of the water of life. The living water from a living God who wants to provide that satisfaction in your heart. It's a personal invitation. Oh, have you been enjoying the heavenly rain showers the last several weeks? God's presence, blessings, our heart rejoicing. But does it make you long for something more? Long for an outpouring? Well, that's the invitation Jesus is giving to us. If you're thirsty, come to Him and drink. If the world's not satisfying, if the things of life are not satisfying, and if they are, you're only finding satisfaction for a short period of time, but the water that Jesus gives is a well of water springing up from within. Finally, you know the passage over in Revelation as John records it here as well, and it's in red. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, if any person hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. What is he talking about? He's talking about a relationship, a satisfaction, a personal thing where a person, if they want to be filled, they can be filled. Because blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. It's a promise. He shall be filled. Lord, fill my cup. I lift it up. Come and fill me. Come and saturate my life. I want more of you. And if I want more of Him, then I give Him more of me. I surrender all to Thee, all to Him I give. Let's stand together this morning.